For the soldiers of the cross to march around Jericho. I'm calling for a holy war of prayer and preaching of the cross to pull down the strongholds of Satan. For Jesus, our Lord and Savior, is about to come back for his bride, whom he has washed and cleansed and made holy, without spot or wrinkle, by his blood which he shed on the cross for us. You ambassadors of Christ, you soldiers of the cross, you precious diamonds, stand up tall and straight, be counted, be recognized, be identified, and rejoice in the soon coming back of the Lord our God.
Oh, dear friends, this sinful world is lost and every Christian's heart is burdened down with care. Tell me, are you doing all you can for Jesus? Are you traveling down the avenue of prayer? Keep your faith in your heart consecrated.
As they're being led to the tempter's snare, would you stand aside and see a losing battle? Are you traveling down the avenue of prayer?
Keep your faith in your heart consecrated.
As of late, we have seen some very interesting things coming to pass. The economic crash in the state, the worldwide recession, people starting to ask what is going on. We can see people becoming very, very discouraged when it comes to the business world. And many of the Christians are out there starting to ask themselves whether they're truly born again. They see the handwriting on the wall. What has been preached over the last 50 years is now starting to take a grip on a lot of people's hearts. That things will not go on as usual, but we are seeing a mighty change happening right in front of us. Many who call themselves Christians are starting to question themselves. Are they truly born again? Yes, as we see the day approaching, many are starting to take inventory on their faith. Are they truly born again? Or is it just wishful thinking on their part? Well, my aim is to see that every person gets to hear the message of salvation as clear as possible. I do my best to tell people that there is a difference in religion and Christianity. Religion is man-made and Christianity is Christ-made. One is having a relationship with a system, the other is having a relationship with a person, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, the creator of the universe. And people need to understand that. And today I will teach on how a person can make sure that he is born again. Through scripture, I will bring forth revelation where people can go to and see if they really and truly know the Lord. But before I get into this message, I will ask the Lord to bless us. Heavenly Father, I come before you in Jesus' name. And I pray, Lord, that you will anoint this message. You will open the hearts of those that are listening, Lord. I know there are many in those days that are searching their heart and asking whether they're truly born again. Oh, Heavenly Father, you will open their heart to the truth. You will reveal to them the truth of their situation. I thank you, O Heavenly Father, that you are willing that none shall perish, and you will take to yourself anybody who comes and calls on you by faith and with a repentant heart. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you're you. I thank you for your salvation that you have given to us. I ask you to bless us today in Jesus' name. Amen. When one studies Matthew chapter 25, it talks about the 10 virgins that went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them had enough oil, and five of them didn't have enough oil. And you can really preach on this in a two-part way. One, you can talk about salvation. Will you have the oil there in your lamp that will be sufficient when the bridegroom comes? The other is, do you have enough oil in your lamp to carry you through when confusion comes or when hard times or sickness comes? Do you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ that when these things come upon you, that you stand with an assured heart? Or do you need somebody else to hold your hand and tell you that everything is all right? Well, I want to encourage you. The Lord Jesus will not cast them away that come to him through repentance and seek him with an honest heart. God is willing that none shall perish. Even if you are in doubt of your salvation, he will not put you aside if you came with a heart that was searching for the true salvation that he offers. It tells us in Hebrews chapter 10, for by one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. So the offering of Jesus Christ, the cross of Jesus Christ, was sufficient to take care of whatever sin you committed. He will make sure that you stand in the end if you depend on that sacrifice for your salvation. For the Lord tells us over and over again that he is willing that none shall perish. I want to read to you a scripture out of John chapter 1, where John the Baptizer tells us, to many as receive him, to them give he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. John the Baptizer tells us, to them that believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to them give he the power to become the sons of God. It is not the will of the flesh, but the will of God, where a person becomes a Christian or a born-again person. To understand that, you don't just believe in Jesus as an historical fact. You have to believe that Jesus is your only salvation. The Bible teaches us in James chapter 2, verse 19, that the devils believe also in God, but they tremble. See, it is not good enough to just believe in God. It has to become personal. You have to turn to Him for the salvation that He offers to you. Many people depend on their religious organization and system. They believe that if they follow those laws, rules, and regulation, then somehow they will perform enough good deeds that in the end they will receive God's blessing and will enter into the kingdom. But the Bible teaches us that our righteousness are as filthy rags. There is no way that you can enter into the kingdom of heaven through your own righteousness. The righteousness that God is looking for has to be given to us by God Himself. In Revelation chapter 19, there is an interesting scripture that tells us the bride was made ready, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. There are some translations of the Bible that teaches us that our righteousness is the acts of the saints. No, all our acts, all our righteousness that we perform cannot give us the righteousness that God demands. Our righteousness only comes through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It tells us in Isaiah chapter 61, verse 10, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for He has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. It's not we ourselves that cover ourselves with righteousness. The Lord Jesus Christ has to impute that righteousness to us. That means God has to give us that righteousness. It tells us in Romans chapter 3, verse 21, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. This is why the Apostle Paul tells us in Romans chapter 3, where is our boasting then? Is our boasting in keeping of the law and in keeping of works? No, it is by faith that we become the righteousness of God. Therefore, we conclude that the man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. The Apostle Paul makes it very, very clear that we cannot in any way or form become the righteousness of God by our own efforts, by our own religion. We have to become righteous through what Jesus did for us on the cross of Calvary. The Lord Jesus Christ told Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And then in verse 15, he goes on to tell us, it's just like when Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. For we all remember the story when the Israeli people murmured against God, and God sent serpents, poisonous serpents amongst them, so that they bit those murmuring people. And when they cried out to God for mercy, for they realized that they were dying, Then God told Moses to erect a bronze serpent upon a pole, and anybody who looks upon that serpent shall be healed and made whole. It tells us very clearly, even in the same way, the Son of Man must be lifted up. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Just like the Israelites were saved from death and destruction when they looked upon that brass serpent that Moses lifted up on a pole in the wilderness, even so was the Son of Man lifted on a cross, that also those who all believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. This is the gospel. This is the mystery that the Apostle Paul is talking about. It's the simple way of salvation. It has absolutely nothing to do with our trying to keep the law or following some religious ideology. The Apostle Paul tells us in Galatians chapter 3, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Therefore, whose eyes Jesus Christ has evidently set forth crucified amongst you, this only word I learned of you, received you the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? The Apostle Paul is pleading with the Galatians. Why are you turning to the things of the law? The law can never make you right with God. It has to be done by faith in the finished work of the cross. He calls them foolish. He tells them that they're operating through witchcraft. That's exactly what the Apostle Paul is telling them. Who has bewitched you? That's witchcraft. Many Christians today are starting out by having faith in the finished work of the cross. Then after a while, they listen to certain teachers who teach them to move back into the law by wearing certain types of clothes and walking in certain types of ways. Thus, they are trying to improve on the finished work of the cross. And one day at the judgment seat of Christ, there will have to be given an account, and God will demand an answer in righteousness. So the question I have for you today, where does that leave you? Do you have oil in your lamp? When the crunch is going to come, will you be able to stand in faith, knowing that all is well with your soul? Or will you have to lean on somebody else for support? Yes, the Bible teaches us that we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as we see the day approaching. But once you are by yourself in sickness, once you are by yourself in some catastrophic situation where nobody else is there to lean on, will you have enough oil in your lamp to stand upon the word and say, in Christ I am sufficient? Yes, that's what God wants to hear from his children. And we need to make sure that we spend time seeking a relationship with this awesome Jesus who is forever reaching out his arms and calling unto us. Come unto me, all you who are laboring and are heavily burdened. Take my yoke upon you, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. Are you seeking that Jesus today? Turn to him for your salvation. Give him your life and your heart, and you will find rest for your soul. The Lord will open your heart to this truth and make you a blessing. Amen.
I want to be a soul winner for Jesus every day. He's done so much for me. hearts that they His grace may know. I want to live for Christ ever and do His blessed will because He loves me so. A soul winner for Jesus, a soul.
When preaching to different religious peoples of different religious systems, a person can very clearly see that most, if not all, religions have the same roots. They try to bring themselves into a good standing with God by their own efforts. So, regardless from what religious system you come from, many have this aggressive attitude that they will somehow force themselves to live godly life. And most times it lasts for a little while and then they slowly drop back into living in a way that is not pleasing to God. Many people have the ability to live a so-called godly life. They somehow have the ability to perform what they call holy acts by the way they dress, the way they conduct themselves, and by the laws they keep. But when we study Scripture, this is a stench in the nostrils of the Lord God. For He tells us that all our righteousness are as filthy rags. In other words, regardless what righteousness that you conjure up by yourself, they are an abomination to the Lord God. Cain and Abel are a perfect example. Cain brought a sacrifice that was not at all pleasing to God, whereas Abel's sacrifice was accepted. What is the difference? The difference is that Abel brought what God demanded, while Cain thought that what he brings should be good enough. And this is exactly how religious systems operate. They are telling themselves in their pride that this, what they are performing, is well-pleasing to the Lord God. Many people, many religious systems even take the authority to forgive sins. Yes, the people will come to the priest and they will tell their sins to the priest and the priest will forgive them their sin. So it is with preachers. Many people will come with their sins to the preacher and the preacher, he will forgive them their sins. The question is, can that preacher forgive you your sins? Many people are in deception because that's how they grew up. That's what they were taught. When they will confess their sins to the preacher, then the preacher can forgive them. Let's say for argument's sake that that preacher can forgive you your sin. But the question is, can he give you eternal life? Now, this is where the tire meets the road. we may tell ourselves that we have been forgiven of our sins because we went and confessed to the preacher or the priest. But the question is, hath your preacher given you eternal life? What good is it to have your sins forgiven if you don't receive eternal life? That's the question people have to ask themselves. The Lord God makes it very clear when you study the Gospels, the four Gospels. He can forgive sin, and He at the same time can give us eternal life. King David cried out in the Psalms to God, "Against you, O God, have I sinned, against you alone." Now, who do we go to ask for our sins to be forgiven? It is to God that we sinned, not to other people. So God, the Lord Jesus Christ, needs to forgive us. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 16, it tells us, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after these days, saith the Lord. I will put my law into their hearts, and into their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities I will remember no more." The Bible teaches us very clearly here, when a person is born again, the Lord will write His laws into our hearts and into our minds. We will follow these laws not because we have to, but because they become part of us. And once they're made part of us, we will follow them. And then the Bible teaches us that He will remember our sins and iniquities no more. This is called being born again. And only through that can one inherit eternal life. The Lord will open your heart to this truth and make you a blessing to many. Amen.
Here at Reaching Out Ministries, we would like to thank you for your generous support. Please continue to pray for us as we press on in the call that God has placed before us. We would love to hear from you. Please write to us at Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2. Again, that's Reaching Out Ministries, Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2.